Hello, Liz Vane. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. It's lovely coming here because you're such a lovely, friendly church. You've got such a lovely atmosphere, such a lovely, friendly vibe here. So thank you for inviting me back. It's nice to come. And already there's been a few pointers of what I want to bring before you today. That first song, you know, that very lively song, Heal Our Land, Build Your Church, Heal Our Land. There's a cry there, isn't there? Heal Our Land. But also, Amanda, was it Amanda leading the prayers? Yeah, so much in those prayers that is things I want to talk about here. Particularly where she was trying to explain, and she did it very well, the two sides have been overwhelmed by the amount of bad news. And of course, coverage these days, it's not like back in the day, I had to wait for a paper or something. The coverage is nonstop. And it's overwhelming. And the challenge in each of us, do we hide and protect ourselves and pretend everything's all right? Or do we try and embrace and run the risk of being overawed? And there's a great wisdom and balance in walking in that tension there, which I wanna come to. Right, so the clock needs to be our friend today, doesn't it? Needs to be your friend in particular. Never is. Hallelujah. Never is, no. Right, let's hope the batteries stop. oh, good, you got a sense of humour. Right, should we have the first? We got the first. Thank you, my man. Now, isn't it beautiful? Hallelujah. Isn't God good, giving us Wales? I know, and welcome if you're not from Wales and you come to this land. It's great. You come to God's country. It's so good. I bless everyone who comes to Wales, Christians, to pray and help us with this. This was, I think I took this in somewhere in mid-Wales. I think we're staying in Llanwrtyd Wells about 10 years ago or something like that. But anywhere in mid-Wales. It's time to pray for Wales. It's time to really pray. It's time to really pray for Wales. That's the message on my heart. That's what I think the Father is saying. So, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. This is the wonderful thing about when you pray. It's an invitation. It's easy to get. I could be going, you've got to pray more and all that, but it's an invitation. And you've got to hold that in a light way, but in a consistent way. I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about what Jesus taught his disciples. Sorry, number two slide, please. I want to talk about his teaching on prayer. We've just read about it. There's so much in that package. How to develop your prayer life. How prayer changes us. And then I'm going to challenge you. There's going to be a challenge to take this up and scare the heck out of the enemy. Because when people are on their knees, he is doing his nutting. Right, let's have the next slide. All right, we're going to get to that. So, this passage that we've just read, clearly the disciples knew how to pray. Right, they were trained in this. They were Jewish. They knew the Psalms. They knew the Scriptures. How many of you watched The Chosen? Oh, I highly recommend it. I highly, highly recommend it. I've done a lot of preaching, and I thought I knew a lot about the New Testament and that, but I have learned so much watching The Chosen. It's an incredible exposition of life at that time, and the truths that come out. Strongly, strongly recommend it. We ended up having to get DVDs because I couldn't find it all the different webby things, and I'm not really good with that. But honestly, strongly recommend it. But that will show you that they prayed all the time. They prayed going into a room, going out of a room. Every time, any meal, any drink, anything, they prayed and they prayed before they went to sleep when they woke up. Prayer soaked their lives. But they say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now, every rabbi would teach his disciples how to pray. That's what it says, as John taught his. But what I think they saw, when they saw Jesus pray to Father, I think they were saying, we need to know how to pray like that. So, That's the heart of it, and we can always go on learning how to pray. But the key part of this passage to me is the bit about the midnight visitor. So can I have two volunteers, please? I'm not going to ask you to do anything horrible or anything. You really just have to stand there, but I do want to do a model. I can pick. Shall I pick two people? Yeah, you two. There we are. Roz and Alex. All right, now, because I saw the way that you came here and took authority this morning setting up, you are God in this picture. All right? But that's behind. At the moment, in terms of the parable, you are the friend that's in bed, tucked up with your kids, and you've got bread in the kitchen, but you're not getting it for anyone. And you are the one that's just arrived. And I am the guy in the parable in the middle. Are you all on the page here? Right. So, hello. Oh, my gosh. Right, yeah. I've got no bread to give you, but I've got hospitality. I've got to welcome you. Excuse me. Right. Okay. Can you get up? Can you give me some bread?
No.
Come on. You need to get up. I've got my friend. Look. Wake up, everybody. This person won't give me any bread. Come on. Please, 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 please. Come on. Give me bread. Come on. Come on. You've got to. You've got to. You've got to. He's starving. Oh, it won't be a minute. It won't be a minute. I'm starving. You can't say anything. You're depending on my mercy. I wouldn't do that. Right. Come on. All right. I am in the middle. I am taking his need and I am presenting it to the person with the need. Do you see that? This is the key person in this parable. This is the lesson. All right? This is the lesson. And the lesson of this parable and this chapter is the need for this person to keep knocking. Now, if you've had a hard night or whatever, you can drop off at that point, because that is the main point of this teaching. But I'm going to obviously being a preacher, I can't just do it in 5 minutes. I'm going to go on. But not on and on. But that is the heart of it. And you are called to be in that place. You have a need. You could be anywhere. You could be living in Gaza. You could be a homeless person. You could be just someone who doesn't know Jesus. And I have taken your need on. And it means something to me. And I'm going to go on here until there's a breakthrough. Thank you. Thank you for our extras there. Very good. Very moving performance. I like the watch touch. Right. Focus. Okay. Maybe. Thank you. Don't encourage me. It'll be a stand-up routine. Don't encourage me. We are the friend in the middle, right? Maybe the disciples thought, why doesn't the bloke without the bread ask the bloke with the bread? Because the bloke without the bread doesn't know the bloke with the bread. Because the people in need don't know God. We have this amazing privilege, honor, humbling task that we know, Father. That is the key point. Christ was saying through this parable, you are key. You are key. Your prayers are important. It's hard with prayer, isn't it? Sometimes you don't know if it's going anywhere. You don't know what's happening. Sometimes it feels like it's just bouncing off the ceiling. It's all here. It's taken by the Holy Spirit and presented to the Father before his throne. Come to that. Right. Okay. The key to the parable is that keeping going on. It's a perfect picture of intercession. Why does the friend eventually, why does the friend with the bread eventually give the bread according to what Jesus says? Jesus says the reason the friend gives the bread is not through the friend's compassion or whatever, or because he wants to get back to. It's because, and I quote, the shameless audacity, the refusal. And that's why I said about the neighbours, that's all part of that. It's not, do you think could you have a bread? Can you have a loaf? Just a slice? It's not that. Because the person in the middle has taken so much of the need of this person, they realise it's serious, I will not stop until. That's what the Father is looking for in this land, I believe now, to heal our land. The stakes are high, but the grace is great. Right, let me give you an example of what this is, shameless audacity. The word is importunity, old-fashioned word, importunity. What's importunity? Any fans here of The Simpsons? I'm in good company, right. We got Sky just so we could get The Simpsons when the kids were younger. Famous Simpsons episode, it's actually the one in the water park. If you don't know The Simpsons, I'll try and paint a picture. The one in the water park where eventually Homer gets stuck in the tube because he's too large for the tube and he gets stuck and they have to get a crane in. But there's always a story before the main story. And the story before the main story is that a flyer comes through the door. It says, new water park opened in Springfield. And the kids go to Homer, can we go, Dad? He says, no. They said, can we go, Dad? No. Can we go, Dad? No. And there follows this brilliant bit of cartoon just in a few minutes where they never stop asking, can we go, Dad? Taking it in turns. Can we go, Dad? Can we go, Dad? Can we go, Dad? No. No, he's in the shower. No, no, no. He's driving to work. No, no. Can we go, Dad? Can we go, Dad? Can we go? He's in work. Then at the door. No, 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 no. Do you get the picture? This is perfect. And he goes, okay. We'll go to the water park. That is importunity. That is what that word means. Okay? The message. Even if you won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbours, he'll finally get up. Okay? Persistence to the point of annoyance is the definition. He is encouraging you relentlessly, but there's something you need to remember. Further on, he says, how much more will your father give? The father is not the man with the bread. Yeah? Father is good. Father wants to give. Father says, how much more will he give? But it doesn't take away the need to keep persisting in prayer. You have to hold those two things together. The father wants to give, but our job is to keep praying until we see it. And that's why that bit of scripture is so wonderful. It's so powerful. Okay. He wants his church. And there is a great power. We can be so easy at looking for blessing and stuff. There's a great power when we go to God, not for ourselves. That person, they were all right. It was for this person. When we go to God for blessing for others, to be blessed, to bless. That is a kingdom principle. Okay? Right. And that is the prayer, I believe, that we're going to be needing to get to see God really move in this land. But maybe you think, now I don't want to be patronizing you, maybe there's some real prayer warriors here, but maybe you think, well, I'm just not at that level of prayer. My life is not that connected to God. I find prayer boring, can't focus. I haven't really got the faith for it. Two ways to deepen your prayer life. Number one is a sentence. It's not what you know, it's what you believe. It's about, you need to believe what the Father says about prayer. As the passage from Luke teaches us that prayer makes a difference. And as believers, we are God's representatives on earth. All of us. All of us. And sometimes we can be tempted to think that there's different levels of Christians. There are maybe pastors and prayer warriors. You know, they just got this special connection. They're just this incredible... they're an incredible place. But we all have the same amount of access to God and gift of grace, anointing, whatever. The difference is how much more some people want it, how much more they go after it, how much more. Someone once said, you have as much of God as you want, which is scary, frightening, but true. How much more, how much do we want? So, I want to encourage you. To press in. The preachers tell a story of a back in the day when the only way to get to America was on an Atlantic liner. It was a guy managed to get a really, really cheap ticket, but he didn't have anywhere to stay. He thought, oh, this just gets me on the boat. So he got on the boat. He had some sandwiches. He had some food. He hid in a lifeboat. He made it last 6 weeks. When he got out at 6 weeks, they found him. And they said, oh, well, what's your name? And they looked on the list. They said, oh, you're on the first class passengers list. He could have been dining at the captain's table. So many Christians settle for less than what the Father has given them, what the Father has got. You go to the Father and it's all available for you. There are no classes of Christian. Okay. Can I have the next slide, please? Thank you. We're all told this. Approach God's throne of grace with confidence, boldness at some, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And of course, what we're talking here is, well, our time of need is the need that we receive, that we share, that we let affect us. That's a powerful thing. The other point of when we think, well, we should just leave it to pastors and all that, or we can't do it. What I'm saying today is, by us all having this place, it's all of our responsibility. We cannot leave it to them and say, well, they're paid to do it or whatever, whatever. The whole church is called to pray. Even if you can't do anything else, you can pray. You can just say, it's in a word, Father, you're there. Father takes you. The very presence of God. Sometimes the grace of God is just too much, isn't it? It's just too... Hallelujah. Right, come on, move on. The second thing, all right? So the first thing is to believe that you have that right. The second thing is focus. Have the next one. Right, we'll come to that verse. Focus. Often our problem is not, we don't believe it's our focus. There are so many things, as was covered earlier, that can distract us, that get in the way. Okay? When Jan was praying for me to start preparing for this, she prayed for me to have focus. This is where the idea came from, because she knows what I'm like. I get on the computer, because I work off an Apple computer and blah, 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 and I'll be on there and I'll think, oh, I'll go on YouTube and I'll look at some teaching from C.S. Lewis or Bill Johnson or a worship. There's loads of great worship on YouTube. And then the adverts do your editing, but I'll be looking at that, and then I'll think, that's really interesting. But I'm a drummer, so I think, oh, I wonder if that drummer's on this. So I'll look at the drummer, and I thought, a bit of funk jazz, that's good. Then, there's a history thing, yeah, so I'll look at a bit of history. And then, there's cop chases, I'll watch some cop chases. And before I know it, I'm watching a video. I start off in prayer, I'm watching a video about a man who's building a caravan out of crisp packets. I think, how did I get here? What happened? I made that up, by the way. I haven't found that. So if you find the video, send me the link. But it's you. I mean, you laugh because you think that is on there. That crazy stuff in there. People are bonkers. Bless them. I know you love them, Lord. Bless all the people who are in it. But what I'm saying is, I lose my focus as I wander over here. Look up. It's dark. I need to go to bed. I've lost the night. It's gone. So focus, focus, focus. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Right. This is a powerful verse when it comes to focus. It's the New Life Version. The ordinary one just says, be of alert and of sober mind. But I like this because it says, the end of the world is near. It's 1 Peter 4, 7. You must be the boss over your mind. Keep awake so you can pray. You see, it's in the context, yeah, of staying focused so that we can pray. So that the Spirit's leading, you need to pray about this. Okay, thank you, Lord. You take to the Father. What an incredible position to be in, that the Spirit comes through us to say, the Father needs this, and you pray it back in the name of Jesus. What an incredible place to be. What an amazing privilege for all of us. So, be aware of your distractions. Be aware of your distractions. If I go on YouTube, I've got to be very, very careful. We're more bombarded with distractions, my gosh, than anyone else. Especially the young people. Oh, my gosh, the young people. Okay. In order to develop our prayer lives, we're going to have to do some deciding about what our priorities are. Or maybe do an audit of time, maybe work out what you're spending it on. What I normally do at this point is, the big one, we got the pocket distractor, the phone. And I say, look, here's an exercise you can try it on. Put this in a box and lock it and see how long you last. And normally some eyes in the congregation will just fill with fear. They just, one woman actually gasped when I said, yeah, imagine not having your phone for a while. What? I thought it was part of me. I thought you couldn't separate it, Distraction. Now, it's a great thing. Yeah, I know the internet can do great stuff. But what I'm saying is, be careful of the distractions. Can I have the next one? Because this is what we need to be about. Honestly, guys, we need to be praying for the... These are two different things. They're connected. But it's the revival of his church to be revived. The revival of his church. And an awakening. And the two come together. You see, with an awakening... Jan's going to say, put the orange thing down. There's an awakening... is a stirring by sovereign God, by his grace, in a nation of people who I need to know about God. And I tell you, that is beginning to happen. That is beginning to happen. Surveys that are done on spiritual openness in Wales, so in the last 10 years, there's so much more openness. They don't really want to talk about church. Church has done some dumb things and got yourself in a bit of a... But Jesus, he still gets... kudos. People want to know about Jesus. I know of some churches where young people are going in. They've never been taught in schools or by parents. They go, I've heard of this guy Jesus. Can you tell me about him? So please pray for an awakening. But pray for the church to be ready. The church to be ready. That whoever comes in or whoever they go out and see, they won't judge them. They won't reject them. They won't say, oh, you need a lot of sorting. All they need... is the love of Christ going through the person in the middle saying, I've got a Father God who has got what you need. That's what these people are going to need. And it is coming. It is coming. Get ready. Get ready. In Cardiff, some of you may know this. In Cardiff, in a couple of big schools, for years and years, Christian teachers have said, can we do a Christian union? Can we do a... No. It's da 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 da. But... in three schools in Cardiff recently, I know of Whitchurch and Clanishan High, Christian young people have said, can we do it? And they said, they've got to say yes. They've got to say yes. And these Christian unions have started in the schools with the support of the teachers, because now they say, oh, you're a Christian teacher, can you support it? It's coming from the young people. There's a generation that is beginning to realize that God put something in them that nobody's told them about. And it's a desire to know God. It's just put into people. And the need of the church is to pray that God would get us ready. And that God would move. And God would move. Right. It seems to me, just to encourage you, there's a unity for prayer in the city and the nation of the world. I haven't seen in 40 years of ministry. There are people just coming together to pray. In WhatsApp groups, in national things, in tiny things, whatever. And I would encourage you to find ways to pray. I really want to encourage you to find ways to pray. I better step off this now because I've got to finish. Right. When you stand in the middle, if you're going to do it and you're going to let the Holy Spirit move on you, it's going to change you. It's going to change you, and that is a good thing. That is a good thing. And that's why you've got to be careful, the news you watch or whatever. Let some of it come in and then pray into that. It'll change you. And that's essential because you have to identify to be able to get the need of this person. Right. Recently, I've had, I've noticed in the church, there's a lot of division and stuff and everything. There's not everything in the church is great, but there's a lot of encouragement around people coming together to pray. But I want to specifically talk about this bit. I saw all these emails were being sent to me by friends. A very gentle friend was sending me emails about the riots following the Southport stabbings. You know, we had those riots and there was this big anti-Muslim fear was coming up, and I was getting even pastors' videos coming in about Muslims taking over and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, I was troubled, and I was looking and researching because I was responding to my friend because she was looking to me. I say, what do you think of this, Chris? So I was getting back. And I was praying about it. I was saying, Lord, I got pastors saying, oh, we need to preach against it. And we need to guard our churches and all this. And I was praying about it. And I felt the Spirit say to me, you need to get to know Muslims. You need to get to know. You need to connect. You need to understand. And so I've got Muslim friends. When I was a pastor, I connected with mosques and stuff. And blah, blah, blah. But I had a friend that I'd meet for coffee every now and then, who was very senior in a mosque, and I was saying, Lord, how do I do this? I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. I want to get to know. I want to be used. And as I was thinking of praying of what to do, and I had my phone there, it went and he was ringing me. And he said, Chris, I do a training course with young Muslims. Can you come and tell them about Jesus? And I remember showing Jan, normally if I get any invite, I'll pray. I didn't have to pray. I said, yeah, I'll do it. I went and I talked to these kids. And they were using me to train them. I'm not foolish. But I had I told them my testimony. And since then, God has just opened other doors. Bizarrely. Individual relationships with Muslims. And I've been challenged to study it, to read the Quran. I wouldn't recommend it. It's a calling. Don't go into it foolishly. But I'm just sharing my thing here. So what I'm saying is when you pray and you align your heart, God will say, okay, I hear what you're doing now. I need your heart. And I'm going to shape it so that you can pray and be available. And it might not be, you're not all called to be doing this, but you see what I'm saying? That the prayer itself will change you. Let's bang through the rest of these. Embrace the challenge of what is going on, all the bad news and everything. Just don't get overwhelmed by it, but just say, Lord, what? Turn to face it, away from the distractions, the millions of distractions of box sets and guns and oils, and let it affect you. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Work in your heart. Something, maybe one particular thing. What's the next one? This is the final bit, really. Ask him what he wants you to pray. And then we go right back to the beginning. Be persistent in prayer. And find ways to pray. They don't have to be in here. I mean, when you said about a prayer breakfast, different models, prayer breakfast, WhatsApp groups. WhatsApp prayer can be amazingly powerful. I was very skeptical of it, but the Holy Spirit is able. So I would encourage you, whatever time of life, whatever your circumstances are, whatever, pray. And of course, praying together, having agreement is so much more powerful. One person's prayer is fantastic. Keep it going. But when two agree on earth, whoa. Okay. There you go. I got a bit excited there. So we'll say that. That is that, basically. We're done. It's worth praying for, this place, isn't it? But be encouraged. God is moving. God is moving. He is absolutely moving. Get part of it with prayer. Right. Let me pray. Father, would you just take all that gabble and stuff and everything, and would you just bring your word powerfully in every heart and raise us up, oh God, here we are, Lord, raise us up as a people of prayer. Even those among us who are maybe all sorts of situations that we can't get involved in stuff, whatever, but raise us up as a people of prayer in this day in Jesus' name, so that your power and your glory may come to this land, so that many are saved and redeemed and healed and delivered, Father God, from all the stuff that's going on, Father. Father, revive your church and awaken this land to your love in Jesus' name. Amen.